seconds. One time for the underdog. One time for the underdog. Ignition sequence start.
Let me see you put 'em up. Reach the sky, touch the stars up above. 'Cause it's one time for the underdog. One time for the underdog.
I'm Pat Trebedev, your host of ITM, and today we're going to talk about your business partner. How do you actually choose the right business partner? That's what we'll talk about in today's episode. There's three things I'm going to cover. One, six types of partnership, because it's not just one type of partnership. There's a business. Two is consequence of choosing the wrong business partner. And then three, how to go about choosing the right business partner. And prior to getting into all these processes we'll do together, I want to tell you a story. So business and marriage are very similar. Let me tell you, very, very similar. The way you marry somebody is the way you choose a business partner. It's very, very important. A lot of times, I've dated a lot of girls before, maybe you've dated a lot of men before or girls before in past relationships that didn't work out. And I will tell you how I used to look at somebody to want to consider as a lifelong partner was only looks, you know, only, you know, a nice body, all that other stuff, and then nothing else came afterwards. So if we bump heads, it's fine. If we had similar personalities, it's totally, it wasn't that. I wanted to dig a little bit deeper when it comes down to wanting to do that. So my wife and I, first, we go on our first date on December 29th in 2007. We go on the first date. It's at P.F. Chang's. Second date, I take her to a bookstore. The following day is a Sunday. Saturday night is December 29th, 2007. December 30th is a Sunday. We go to Earth Cafe. We go do the stairs in Santa Monica, and boom, I take her to a bookstore, Borders, which is no longer in business. On our second date, I buy her a book called The 101 Questions to Ask Before You Get Engaged. Second book. I take her to the island. I said, this is going to be very awkward. I want you to know that this is, you know, probably no man's going to do this with you. I have no desire to just be a partner with you and enjoy you physically and all this other stuff, which is probably what most men want. I'm looking for a wife, and I'm very clear on what I'm looking for. Here's a book I want you to read before we go into a serious relationship together. I know you like me. I know I like you. But I don't want this thing to just be a three-month relationship. We have fun, and then we're stuck together. I want it to be a real legitimate relationship. She goes, she reads the book. A week later, we're together at the house. It took 6 hours. We went through all the questions to get their very direct questions, tough questions. After the 6 hours, we start dating. Next thing you know, 15 months later, 16 months later, I propose. And then we got married a year and a half later. From the day we read the book, a year and a half later, we got married. And the rest is history. We got two kids now, one on the way as I'm doing this episode today. And so far, it's been a healthy marriage. It's been a good marriage. Lots of ups, lots of fights, lots of disagreements, lots of challenges, lots of those things. But one of the reasons why it worked out, because we asked a lot of the important questions at the beginning. How many kids do you want to have? Who's going to handle the finances? What are things that are important to you? What type of things do you want to get credit to? What matters to you? I don't care the type of a house we live in, but I need to make sure the sun comes up this side, sun comes down. I want to see light in the house. I got to make sure it's important to you. You know, what kind of a, how many kids, how many, where are we going to raise our kids? What are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with that? How are you feeling about church? How are you feeling about every single thing from sex? Every single thing from baggage, from what do you have in the, you know, skeletons in the closet, everything that we covered together, we talked up front. And why was this important? Because later on when it's been brought up in a relationship or marriage and we were dating, it was always going back to the book. So let me explain to you why I just said that to you. If you treat your partnerships the same way, you're going to prevent yourself from having a lot of headaches later on in business that can be handled today. Just like a lot of people just meet someone they love, they go in, and then they get married because it's what we're supposed to do instead of really digging deep with the right questions early on. I want to share with you from all the mistakes I've made in business, personal life. I'm going to share with you. I've had the wrong business partners. I've had people that backstab. I've had all that stuff, and I'm not saying in a victim way. It happens with business, but you got to know this is probably one of the most important episodes to watch that you don't just want to watch this. You want to study this. This is not something you watch and you drive. This is something you go back, you put it on, you take your notepad, you study it, and you talk with your partner about it. So let's get right into it. Six different types of partnerships, okay? First type of partnership is an equity partner. This is an equity partner investor. This is someone that owns a piece of the company with you. Most people think partnership is purely 50-50. It's not. Very few companies are actually owned 50-50. The only companies that are typically owned 50-50 are smaller companies. Big companies are not owned 50-50. it just doesn't work out that way, right? So, you know, one person may have 6% of the company, 1.8%, 4.9%, 13%, 22%, 17%. Everybody is an equity or an investor. They're partners. They are partners that you own the company together. Money's in it. We're vested. That's a different type of a partnership. Second type of a partnership is a product partner. To me, product partners are just as important as everybody else. You could have a carrier. When we first started our financial firm, my first couple partnerships were in partnerships that we wanted to be married to each other for a long time. They didn't want to, neither did we. We just kind of dated each other. But it was great because we both got a lot of experience together. We had fun together and we had some bad times together. And we both learned that we're not a fit, okay, whoever those partners were. And eventually you'll learn which are the better product partners. Today, we look for real product partnerships. The ones that we have today were real product partnerships that we wanted to find with our company. Three is executives. Executives to me are absolute partners because the way I hire executives, I mean, if I told you stories on how I hire executives, you'll realize why I hire them the way I do, because I want to know a lot about you if you're going to be making decisions in the company without me having to constantly be there and say, do this, do that. I'm not a control, micro control. I'm not a fan of that. I'm more like what Mark Cuban said about a year and a half ago in Nashville, Tennessee. Somebody asked him, do you micromanage? He says, not until after I trust you. Once I trust you, I don't micromanage anymore. Meaning, I don't after I trust you. I micromanage until I trust you. And I prefer me trusting early so I can just let you do your part and we go from there. Executives that are typically higher partners are especially those that touch money. If you touch money, there are a lot of sensitivity around money. Just like in marriage and business, there's a lot of sensitivity with money, but that's a partner. Four, different departments, supporting cats, marketing, operations, compliance, assistant, board of directors, advisory board. These are all, to me, partners because you're not doing all the marketing yourself. Somebody else is. That's a partner. You're not doing all the compliance thing. Somebody else is to protect the company. That's a partner. These are partners you can trust to do marketing, operations, and compliance for you. The next one is vendors, consultants, legal, and CPA. Vendors, consultants, legal, and CPA. General counsel plays a very important role. We have three most amazing law firms that we work with. We're very happy with them. We've got strong relationships with them, and they're very important. We spend a lot of money with them, hundreds of thousands of dollars with them, because they need to do their part right with contracts that we have in place. Our accounting firm, we chose one of the biggest accounting firms in America because that's very critical for you. But I didn't start off with a big accounting firm. I started off with a small CPA that ran his own shop until one day we said, you just can't handle our business anymore. We had to go to one of the top 10 accounting firms in America. So it's knowing that's still a partner, because you got to know your CPA knows what he's doing. You got to know the lawyer knows all the legalities of whatever thing they're doing for you. Your vendors, our vendors, phone system, they got to deliver. Our T1 line, they got to deliver. The person that comes in, marketing, printing, clothes, these are all strong vendors. It's a partnership. I have very specific conversations with these vendors because we're not just doing business with you. We are partners together. I'm going to help you grow. You're going to help me grow. It's a very specific relationship that we have together. And the other one is office building when you lease. There is a important relationship when you either the relationship with the building you're buying a building from or you're leasing, or you're going in a lease with somebody else, a sublease, or you're leasing with a partner. I've had a partner that I leased an office space with, and within 2 months he bailed out for 9 months and I was stuck with this lease for the other 9 months. That's a partnership, and we were connected with checking accounts, and his credit didn't do well, so I was affected by, well, my credit. I had to be on him for months until he finally fixed it because there was one penny in the account, and I was affected with that. These are all partnerships that you got to know about, right? So these are different types of partnerships. Partnership is, to think partnership is only 50-50, you are way, way, way behind business. You are thinking way, because all you're thinking about is, I own half of this, you own the other half, and that's pretty much it. No. I read a book, I think it was called Parental Capacity or something like that. And is that what it was called? Parental Capacity. And he said, marriage is not about just you and the person you marry. It's about who's the coach of your kids, who is the tutors, who is the teacher, who is the nanny, who is the babysitter, who is the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, the grandmother. It's a support. Who's the church you go to, who's the local sports team. It's a support team, and they're all partners in helping raise this future leader of the world or future citizen of the world. You have a partnership going on with that. Same thing as with business. So the more you look at it this way, by the way, people want to do business with you because everybody has a certain role they play in the success of the business. Now let's talk about consequence of choosing the wrong business partner. So what happens to 2 out of 3 marriages? What do we hear about constantly? Well, 2 out of 3 marriages end up out of what? Out of divorce. And that can happen in business as well. And so most people will say, well, the number one reason why a divorce takes place is why? Because of finances. Yes, it's right. Money has a big role to play in a divorce. But I would say, in my opinion, the number one reason for a divorce, in my opinion, is not enough Q&A and asking the right questions initially before deciding to do this. I think we get married a lot of times with emotion, and then we get a divorce with logic. We get a lot of, I love her, she's so pretty, I love her so much, she's so amazing, I love the way she does this, I love the way he makes me feel. We get married, but we don't ask the tough questions, right? So let's talk about consequences of choosing the wrong business partner. You could have a divorce in business. Why? Cheating. What's cheating? You thought your partner was fully committed, but they're doing other things, so they're not fully with you, they're distracted. Okay, when I hire somebody, if I have to pay the person 20% more, but I want 100%, I'm gonna pay you 20% more because I want 100% of you. We can't have any other thing. I like 100% focus is what I like when I hire somebody fully on the team. 3 is stealing money. You know, I've had this happen before, and when it does, money is a very sensitive thing. You cannot have that taking place, but it happens. It ends up at a relationship not working out. Lying. Now, lying, I'm not talking about the person is perfect. I understand people will say, you know, certain things that they're going to say. I'm not looking for someone who walks on water, but I am looking for trends. If I constantly see you telling me, oh, I'm so busy on Friday, you won't believe what happened to my family on Friday morning. Gosh, constant crisis happens for 4 Friday mornings. And then I realize you come to work and you have grass on your shoes. I realize you were golfing. Crisis didn't happen. It's just your golf game wasn't that good on Friday morning. It's a trend. And that's okay. All you need to say is golf instead of actually lie about it, because that's even worse. So there's a trend with lying, you know, mismanagement of money. If you don't know how to manage money, it's definitely going to hurt the business. Not fulfilling your roles. You know, if a husband says, my only job is to make kids, and the wife says, my only job is to give birth to the kids. Really? Okay. Husband has responsibilities of dropping off the kids in the morning. Never does it. Never does it. You think that marriage is going to work out? Never does it. Never does it. Husband said, you know, Saturday, Sunday, I'm going to take my kids out, and I'm committing on Sundays to taking the kids out to the park. 10 years, never does it. You think that relationship's going to work out? Wife says, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, or I'm going to cook, or I'm going to do this, whatever it is. Oh my, I'm going to go get a job as well and teach. No, I'm not going to do this. No, I'm going to. If we don't do our roles, there's going to be a disconnect, because the other person's going to be, wait a minute, did I get the wrong end of the stick? The same way that happens is the same way it happens when you have partners that don't do their parts right. If I'm doing all of marketing's job and not, they're not doing their part, what do we have them here for? If the case managers we have are not doing their part, what do we have them here for? If compliance is not doing their part, if biz dev is not doing it, what do we have you here for? I'm not here for me to do your job. You're here for you to do your job, and I'm going to do my job. I have a job as well. You have a role as well. So being clear about each other's roles. Bad habits, bad personal habits. What's bad personal habits? I mean, in business, how many times does somebody pick up the habit of drinking, smoking, drugs, coke, partying? Doesn't work out. I've seen it so many times. Same thing happens in marriage. Same thing happens in business. Lawsuits, not pretty when it's lawsuit. You know, when there's a divorce and there's mediation and people are sitting there, who gets the house, who gets this, who gets that? It's just ugly. You got to figure out a way to prevent this from happening. And then reputation. You know, reputation takes a hit, and you know, you want to go out there and have another business partner. You know, there's a reputation there, but you want to make sure. You want to make sure. Now listen, you can do everything right, and this could still happen, but everything is about increasing what? The percentage of this working out. So how do you go about choosing the right business partner? And how have I been doing this all these years after all the mistakes I've made? 12 key points before choosing a business partner. 12 key points before choosing a great business partner. And I'll make a book recommendation to you. Point number 1, non-negotiables. Let me explain to you what I mean by non-negotiables. To me, Somebody comes and says, Pat, I want to get married. What do you suggest about me getting married? Okay. First of all, I say, what life do you want to live? I want to live this life. Okay, great. Find somebody who has this life and go ask that person what they did, get their feedback from them. But Pat, I want to know yours. Great. What are your three non-negotiables? What do you mean by that? What are your three non-negotiable? What does that mean? Well, what's your standard? What are some things that the person has to do before they marry you, or can you marry anybody? No. Well, what are you not willing to compromise? Well, then you don't know what you want. And you know, most men are clueless on what they want. Most men. Women typically know a lot more than men do. Women, I want security. I want to feel safe. I want somebody who's got a curry. I want to do this. I want to do this. Great. Men are like, she has to be 36, 24, 36, beautiful hair. Priorities aren't right. And I'm talking myself and everybody else. I'm not just talking on behalf of myself. I'm talking typically we don't fully know what we want. So what are your non-negotiable? What are your three non-negotiable that you're not willing to negotiate? It's just boom, I'm sorry, I can't do nothing about it. You gotta have it. You gotta have it. You cannot just sit there and say, I don't have any of it. By the way, when I hire somebody or I decide to partner with somebody and they're a higher level. So when we first started the firm, we were all out of Northridge, California, out of one office. Everybody was out of one office. And we had this gentleman out of Florida, his name is John. And I said, you know, hey, Pat, you got to meet John. So John and I meet the first time. The guy is just hilarious. He used to be a former bar mitzvah dancer, et cetera, et cetera. So he went to Jacksonville University, tried to play for Manchester United, didn't work out. He got hurt, comes back, and decides to go into bar mitzvah, and then he wants to work with us. Great. So I heard so many great things about him, but he's going to be the first person that's going to expand into a new state, new market. Instead of just saying, well, here we go, great, open up an office, let's see how it works out. I said, no, you need to fly out. He comes flies out, and I speak to him. He spends a week with me. Then when he goes back, I give him a challenge. He takes it. Again, I want to see how he responds to a challenge. Then I flew out to Florida and spent a few days with him, and I didn't stay at a hotel. I stayed in his house. Now, why did I stay in his house? I wanted to get to know him. I wanted to get to know his parents. I wanted to get to know his family. I wanted to learn about their tradition, their cultures, everything. You know what happened? I fell in love with the family. I fell in love with this guy's family. I fell in love with who he was as a human being. I started seeing who he was in high school, the grades he had, 4.5 GPA. He did this, he did that, how people trust him, how he's a good guy, the way he picked me up. He drove 65 miles an hour, 75 miles, 70 miles an hour, very conservative, you know, a lot of etiquette, humor, likable, trusting. That's going and living with the person, spending a couple nights with them to really get to know them. And that's when we talk about negotiables. We talk about non-negotiables. When I flew out and spoke to him, when we just recently brought on board my president, Tom Ellsworth, who has sold $1.3 billion of companies in his career, $1.3 billion of companies in his career, he and I, our relationship started a long time ago. And from there, we flew and traveled so many times. I probably spent 50 nights with him. And by the way, we can afford to stay at different hotel rooms. I want to get to know you. I want to know what he does with the clothes in the morning. I want to know how he puts stuff in the closet. I want to know how you behave. I want to see that. He wants to see me. And next thing you know, there's a friendship. There's a bond. There's emotions. There's conversations. There's life. I met his mom. I met his wife. I met his kids. I met his brother. I met everybody. He met everybody. That's now our president. And he's done incredible things for himself in business. But you got to talk about non-negotiable. What are you not willing to negotiate with? Second point. Common long-term vision. What is the long-term vision of the other person? Somebody may decide to just want to date you. They don't want to marry you. You ever dated somebody and they never wanted to get married? Same thing with business. What if you have somebody that you want to do business with and I put so much resources into one leader or one person or one entrepreneur and then all of a sudden I realize we don't share the common long-term vision. He's just here because he wants the money and that's what's important and that's totally fine. But that's his long-term vision. So you know how to handle that part. I want to know, what is this person's long-term vision? What do you want to do long-term? What are your aspirations? And if there really isn't, and it's money, 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 you also know what that is. But it's okay because it's honest. At least you know what it is. What are the two partners' long-term vision? When I hire an executive, when I hire a vendor, when I bring a business partner, when I bring an executive, when I bring a field leader, when I develop a, what is your long-term vision? I want to know it. I want to know it. Three, values. What are your values? What are the common values and principles that this partner lives by? We don't talk enough about values. You don't hear a lot about values. One of the books we read last month in book club, the Entrepreneur Book Club, was what? Was Conscious Capitalism. The book is somewhere around here. I can't find it. Conscious Capitalism by John Mackey. I thought that was it, but it's not.
No, it's not.
Conscious Capitalism by John Mackey. He talks about conscious leadership in the book. And he's the founder of Whole Foods, right? Values. We don't talk enough about values. We need to spend a lot more time talking about values with whoever you're doing business with. Four, opposing strengths. So what are you going to bring to the table to him? And what is he going to bring to the table to you? What are you going to bring to the table to her? What is she going to bring to the table? What is a part that she's going to fill? If a team, basketball team, has 12 Shaqs, they're not winning a championship. If a team has 12 Kobe Bryants, they're not winning a championship. That's not going to be a winning championship. How many times have you seen teams stack up with everybody and they don't win? I remember one time Lakers had Peyton, Malone, Shaq, Kobe. They lost. I remember The Rock. I mean, so many teams have done it to stack up and it doesn't happen. There needs to be opposing strength. Somebody needs to play first base, second base, third, shortstop, right, center, left, pitch, catcher, hitter, DH, hitting coach. You know, somebody who knows how to teach them how to play defense and how to throw the double plays. This is all a team putting together. So it's got to be opposing strength that you have. Five, clear roles. What is the role of the other person? It's got to be clear. What is the role that person is going to play? What is your expectation of the role this person is going to play? Six, who gets the credit? When you talk to them, how much is it about credit? One of the biggest challenges about building something big is, you know, the seven deadly sins, believe it or not, in business. You know what's one of the seven deadly sins that hurts business? What do you think it is? We've heard it, the whole lust, greed, that, all this other stuff. You know what it is? It's envy. You know why it's envy? Lakers could have built a dynasty. Shaq, Kobe, envy. Who gets the credit? Phil couldn't get these guys to realize, look, it's irrelevant. You guys could be the next Celtics. No one's going to be able to do this but you guys. Jerry West and Steve Kerr, who just built the Golden State Warriors, were able to convince these guys we can build a legacy here. Wherein Andre Iguodala, who is a 24-point-a-game average for Philadelphia 76ers, is willing to come off the bench to win a championship and becomes the championship MVP. Why? Because they said, forget envy. Forget who gets credit. Let's play together. They're on track to beating the best record ever in the history of the NBA. Not sure if it's going to happen, but because they decided to say, we don't care who gets the credit. In partnership, it's very critical to talk about who gets the credit. Seven. And by the way, I don't mean one is only going to get the credit. This is not it. You know, it's credit's got to be given to everybody. But it's how important is this person going to be okay with you getting the credit, this person getting the credit, that person getting the credit? Or are they the type that constantly need to get the credit for everything? How can you tell? When you speak to somebody and every time they bring someone success and somehow they put it on themselves, they need to get all the credit. They suck all the air out of a room. You got to make sure it's somebody that wants to give it back. And if you're talking to somebody and you see this person saying, that person did a great job with this, this person does a great job with that, this person did this, you can tell they're constantly giving credit away to people. That's someone they can do business with because they don't need all the credit. Seven, financial status. How is their financial status? You marry somebody, you think you need to know if they have a tax IRS lien? Yes. Do you need to know what their credit score is? Do you need to know how much money they have in debt? Of course you do. What do you need to know if somebody you're bringing on board as a leader? Of course you need to know those types of things. You need to know how their financial situation is. You need to know how they're managing their finances. If you're going to open up a lease with somebody, you need to know how they're doing. So financial status is very important. Eight, purpose. What is the purpose long term? Why are you doing this? What's the purpose of doing this? Tell me. I want to be financially free. What else? I want to do this. What else? I want to do that. What else? I want to do this. What else? And then you look for signs. You hope for somebody to say, honestly, I want to make sure in the 80 years that I have left on this planet, I make a difference in the world. I make an impact. I do something that's never been done before and, you know, contribute positively to the world. Great. You hear 40 sound bites and you can generally tell the difference between someone who says it because it's the right thing to say and someone who genuinely says it and means it. There's a lot to be learned. And one time somebody can fool you, four, five, six meetings, they can't typically fool you because the truth eventually comes out. If it's all about the money. Nine, schedule. What is the type of a schedule that they're going to have? Because sometimes you'll have somebody that will come with a nice resume, okay, fat resume. And the resume comes with the expectation of, I'll only work 4 days a week. I had somebody I hired. This guy was a lots of talent in the industry, financial industry. But his expectation was, I take Fridays off. I don't work the weekends. I work Monday through Thursday. Do you know what the last company did to me? The last company gave me this. They gave me this. They gave me that. I'm not looking for that. And then finally, I just said, this is not a good fit. I don't think this is a fit for you. I think you got to make a decision what you want to do next. And he did. And he did. So this is just not going to work out for neither party, because what you're doing, what I'm doing, it's just not the right partnership. So understanding what part of the business, if you're a startup, you can't have somebody saying, I'm only going to work 3 days a week. If it's a startup, I need somebody in the startup mode. So I'll ask the question. I'll say, look, I know you have a pretty fat resume. You have a nice resume. And the reason why you have a resume like that is because at some point you had startup mentality. My question to you is, do you currently have the corporate mentality or the startup mentality? What do you mean by that? Well, are you more in a phase where you feel like you've earned it and so you need all this other stuff? Or do you want to get back and get your hands dirty and build another startup to be able to potentially make an impact around the world and have a big victory? Well, that's a great question. My wife wants me to, okay, boom. You already know where it's going. So is it part of a non-negotiable? Are you okay with that? You need to make that decision, but it's not something to set aside. 10. You hear marry up. You ever hear people say marry up? You ever hear people say recruit up? I say partner up. Partner up. There's no way in the world Tom, our president, is at the same level as me when it comes down to intelligence. No way. He is way ahead of me. This guy is the sharpest cat I've ever met on how intelligent he is. He is so sharp, it's unreal. You don't sell $1.3 billion of companies. You go to his desk, you look at the picture on his desk, it's all the big victories he's had. You won't even believe it, okay? You won't even believe it. But you don't have someone like that and you come into a room and you think you're the smartest cat in the room. Not at all. When I talk to our compliance leader, Amor, there's no way in the world I share the same level of intelligence in his world. I don't, because we partner up. When I look at the field leaders, when I look at the marketing, when I look at the everything that we bring up, it's about partnering up, but knowing there isn't any ego there to know that they need to suck all the credit, that without them, nothing would happen. The moment somebody has it, without me, nothing would happen, that's turmoil. There's problem there because, again, envy, all the credit, they need to suck up all the credit. There's going to be a problem there eventually. Something's going to happen with that. So partnering up. 11, track record. What's your track record look like? And a lot of times when it comes to track record, I'm more curious about asking people who have done business with you on what they'll say about you instead of just asking you. I want to know what people will say about you. Just like people are going to ask about who I am, I'm going to ask about who you are as well. And the last but not least is meet Mario. Meet the family, right? Meet the family. I like meeting the family. I like meeting wife. It's my first one, meeting your spouse, your husband, your wife. Our financial person we have here, I brought her on board from Chase. She's got a master's. She's got a degree from UCLA. Moral. When she first came on board, I wanted to meet her partner because she was engaged. She wasn't married yet. So I'm like, okay, there's a lot of young girls typically have boyfriend-girlfriend problems. So I go and I meet him, and I'm very impressed. So I meet him again and again and again. I'm very impressed. Then all of a sudden, I know they're getting married, and then they end up getting married, and the wedding was just an incredible event, and I fall in love with their family. I know her mom, her dad, her sister. I've traveled with her sister and brother-in-law to Paris and Dubai and all this other stuff. And then I got to travel with her husband. So her husband is now running with our firm on a department by himself, doing a great job, Tikrin. But I want to get to know spouses. Same thing happened with Mario. Mario's been with us for quite some time. I got to know his spouse, Monica. Now Monica's working with us. I like to know spouses. I had a friend, Matt, that decided to do business with us out of Oak Brook, Money Smart Guy. Some of you guys know him from, he's big on Periscope, right? It's big on Periscope. You meet his wife, I'm so blown away by who she is, right? You meet the spouse, there's so much to be seen there. But you got to meet the spouse. I'm big on meeting family. I'm big on meeting your parents. I'm big on meeting your brother, your sister. And I know people listen to this. And you know what a lot of people will say when they see this? They say, Pat, I'm so drained just watching. And I'm just saying, are you serious? You really do this? I really do. You really go through all this stuff? This is draining. I do. There's effort in building a business. There's a lot of details to it. You can't just wing yourself to the top. That's not how business works. This is reality. Listen, there's a lot of great guys on YouTube who are great motivators, and that's fine. You need a lot of it. I listen to them myself as well, but this isn't the channel just for motivation. I know you know, people see value, Tim, and I want to come and do this. Finding the right partner takes effort. And believe me, I would rather have you take a lot more effort on the front end to avoid a bunch of pain you're going to have to deal with a year, 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now. And that pain of 5, 10, 15, 20 years later, that pain compounds. Today's pain is something you can fix, and it's a 2-week pain, a month pain of having to replace, rehire, whatever, repartner, then it's going to be 10, 15 years later. You got to position yourself with the right partners. And there's a, listen, there's a lot of great books to read about working together. I think there's a good book out there I would recommend. It's, you know, it's a good book. Michael Eisner wrote it with Aaron Cohen, Working Together, Why Great Partnerships Succeed, Why Great Partnerships Succeed. There's a lot of great stories in here. I think one of them is Buffett and Munger. Another one is Gates. Another one is from Studio 54. Some of you guys that are old enough to remember Studio 54, which was one of the most incredible nightclubs ever historically in New York. It's got good stories too. Joe Torre and Don Zimmer from baseball, Arthur Blank and Bernie Marcus from what is that orange company? Home Depot. Stephen Rebell and Ian Schrager is from Studio 50. It's a good book. It's a very, very good book. Highly recommend. Yeah, Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger. There's a lot of great content in here to hear stories. I think what this will do is if you got a partner, you want to be inspired by great stories, this is a book to read. But if you have a great partner, if you have some people that you're working with and they're partners that you respect, they could be an executive of yours. They could be somebody who's doing biz dev, marketing. They could be an equity partner with you. Share this video with them. Compliment them. Tell them, hey, man, I'm grateful we have a strong partnership together. And if you're about to go into partnership with somebody or thinking about bringing an executive on board, for them to know what your expectation is about partnership before moving forward, because I think there's a lot to save for you by covering the six things, six different types of partnerships, how to avoid consequence of the wrong type of partnerships, and then obviously 12 key points before deciding to choose the right business partner. Thanks everybody for listening. And by the way, if you haven't already subscribed to Valuetainment on iTunes, please do so. Give us a 5-star, write a review if you haven't already. And if you have any questions for me that you may have, you can always find me on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. Just search my name, Patrick Bit-David. And I actually do respond back when you snap me or send me a message on Instagram. With that being said, have a great day today. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.